Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, my next guest, Shan Horn, is a motivational speaker, entrepreneur and a passionate advocate for body confidence and women empowerment. Today, we're talking about the stereotype of what health and wellness looks like, the power of community networks and how we can all start showing up more fully for ourselves and others. Shan, you're very welcome.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So you worked for years, 20 years in senior operations management and decided to get out. I'm always really fascinated by that moment or those whispers that you were having. What was it going
on? I suppose it stemmed a little bit earlier. So I actually worked in retail and then in bars and restaurants, ran pubs for years. And my first real move was at 25. I decided that I didn't want that. Wanted to work in the wellness industry. But I was very good at doing everything. So operations just came to me very easily, and started working in the wellness industry, but in operations. So very much business leader, very much 11 departments all reporting in. But then I ended up moving to Ireland because of that. So I came over with David Lloyd Riverview. So David Lloyd had bought out the Riverview Club in Dublin.
So that was like a chain of health
centres. I worked for Whitbread and David Lloyd in the UK. And actually, I came to Dublin for a weekend and I went home and I had such a fabulous time. And I said, you know what, if we had a place in Dublin, I'd just be off. And he said, do you know what, Sean, that's funny you should say that. And the next thing I knew, 6 weeks later, I was in Dublin. Initially for 6 months, I just forgot to go home. I had such a good time. So in 2008, part of my remit was to actually franchise out a few parts of that business. And part of that business was the spa. And I couldn't let go of it. I absolutely adored running that piece of the business. And so I bought it off them in 2008. And that was my first business of my own. Right at the beginning of the recession, really not such a great move, but learnt me loads. We're here to tell the tale. So that was the big change for me.
And how much do you think the wellness space has changed since then?
Hugely. I mean, look, back in the day, I was running pubs. I was always a member of a gym, but it was a very social aspect for me. I've always craved people. I grew up in pubs. I've never had privacy. I always had other people living with our family. Christmas Day was always 24 people around a table, mostly me saying, who's that at the other end? So I really work best with people and around people. And that's why I suppose I take that through to my work today. But the wellness piece was important. I always danced and I was a dance teacher till my mid-20s. So it was a real natural transition for me, actually.
Because the David Lloyd group, as I remember it, yeah. I used to go with a family. I was friends with their daughter. And that was quite an elite type setup. That was a lot of nice cars pulling into the driveway, people playing tennis. And I think the wellness industry has changed. It's a little bit more omnipresent now. It feels like it's for everyone to look after themselves.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? I mean, there's two sides to that. I think everything has become wellness. I think a lot of people think if they put wellness at the beginning of a sentence, it changes the way that we should look at things. Wellness to me is what it is to you. For everybody, it's very, very different. For me, wellness is making sure that I'm happy. I'm surrounding myself by the right people. I'm moving. I'm still a Pilates instructor. I believe in movement. It 100% has healed me and heals the people that I work with. But for somebody else, wellness could be jumping in the sea of a morning. And so I get sticky with the word wellness even at the moment because I just think people use it randomly. But it is, you know, it's like putty wellness. It's different for everybody. And you have to find what works for you. But it's for me, it's happiness.
And I think we've started to bring more vocabulary into the discussion around health and wellness. So it used to be diet and exercise. And that's the sort of train most people tried to get on or stay on or fall off or wherever they were at with it. Whereas now we talk more about joy, spirituality, connection, community, and how important those things are. And that's something you very much fed into your work all the way along.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons that I fed that in is I have to. There is still a picture of what people think wellness is. I am not that picture. You know, there's I'm a size 20, 22. I'm 53 years of age and I'm a Pilates instructor. I'm not a picture postcard of what is represented as wellness across our social media platforms, in our magazines and in our papers. It just isn't. People think of it as that sort of diet, you know, run more, eat less, etc. So for me, when I decided to, I suppose, leave corporate, I end up selling my my spa business and I moved to Cork. I met a Cork man. They don't leave Cork, by the way. So I moved to Cork. However, I do love Cork. And I opened a boutique style, which 14 years ago in Cork, no one had heard of a reformer in Cork. There was only a physio that had one. There's only recently in the last 2 years that's come through. But so when we looked at how we would brand that and how we would do that, we knew very quickly we couldn't be what we were seeing in Australia and in America because we didn't look like that. So we still talk to people about, you know, finding their movement. And that not might not always be what we do. But if it isn't, we'll help them find it.
Yeah. You and I sat together at your network that you founded, the club for women in business. And we got chatting about that. And, you know, it really, I've been really passionate about changing the conversation away from diet and exercise and body positivity, because quite often following that is not health and well-being. It's the opposite. But you said something that really stuck with me, that you've come up against this your whole entire life. And your lovely sister was there as well. You said you've two of them who are very naturally slim built.
Four.
And they all look like that.
Skinny malinks. They are skinny malinks.
And people just always make assumptions about their bodies.
Yes.
And your body. And it's something that nobody should be doing.
No, I mean, completely not. Because, listen, we do it. We don't mean to do it. It's not malicious, etc. But the problem, actually, I really thought it disappeared for a while, but it's actually still there. I was actually talking to somebody last night and I was saying, you know, it's really difficult still as an instructor. I've always had issue purchasing product to wear that I look good in. I don't want to look and I don't want to dress like a size 8. I want to dress like a size 20, but I want to look good. And I think that I should be allowed to do that. And the problem is, yes, sizes are being made in my size, but whereas they might make 4 million in a size 10, they'll make 4 in a size 20. And so I find it really hard to actually be able to purchase them. I've got a couple of tops that I've had for years and I've only ever been able to purchase one of them. And I constantly go into the website that they just don't make it again. So there is a problem because people think that larger people are lazy, and I've never been lazy ever in my life. But this is something that I have to kind of accept. I do try all the time. I mean, I was thinking with a friend, I'm 53, so I've probably been dieting since I was 7. That's 46 years of my life. I've been thinking about how people think about my body. And I say this also, I'm happy in my body. I just always want to feel healthy. And I'm at that time of my life at the moment where I've just put on a little bit of extra over the last couple of years through menopause, and I'm not feeling my healthy self. And so now I'm on a battle to try and get back to that. But we have to sometimes accept that we're just a little bit different and be happy with it. I'm very happy with myself. I'm a very kind person.
Yeah, and even asking you here today to talk about that, because like it's such an important topic, I still felt like I was almost in that judgment brigade. Because I'm like, you've so much more to talk about. You've so many more capabilities and talents and achievements. Yeah. So to have you here to talk about your body shape seems to really reduce you. But I think that's where we're at with the conversation, that we need strong females like yourself who are like, sorry, I've danced all my life. I'm a Pilates instructor. I'm healthy in my body. It just doesn't look like the picture people have had of what health and wellness is. It's a stereotype. It's not real. Often behind those pictures is ill health.
And I mean, I'm obsessed with listening to podcasts from some of the most amazing people from all over the world. And, you know, I was actually listening to Tim Spector before I drove up here this morning, and You know, and they're saying, you know, it's not about this ideology of, you know, move more, eat less, move more, eat less. It's just not that simple. Just not assume. I mean, I wore a glucose monitor for 9 months because I felt like I wanted to prove to people that I wasn't secret eating. Now, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know I've got a healthy diet. I love cooking. I cook everything from scratch. I don't eat processed food, but I don't lose weight. And I thought, if I put this glucose monitor on, I can prove to my doctor, she'll be able to see exactly when I'm eating, and I could keep that line level. Not a problem. I don't have a problem. But I can't lose weight. And so I've got to find ways to make me happy.
And we talk about body positivity, but we're still focusing in on the body. And something else you said that's also stuck with me was the holiday you were on, where the gorgeous women that you were with, who were really friendly, well-intentioned, lovely people who you were having fun with, said, "You're so brave to wear a bikini to the pool." And
oh my God, she's amazing. Like, look, she just doesn't care. She just walks around. I thought, why would I care? I was bemused by it. I'd never heard that before. I've always wore bikinis. And back in the day, you know, the top would be off too. It's just, it's my body. I always used to say to my, I remember actually when I was about 17, it was the 90s, obviously, salt and pepper are out. I had this like vest top on, leggings, me combats. And my dad went, "Oh, there's quite a bit of skin." I said, "You know what, Dad?" I wasn't 17. I probably was 20, I'd say. But I said, "Do you know what, Dad? If anybody was interested in me, they'd see my skin anyway. What's the problem?" And he was like, "Well, okay.
Yeah. And that's something I've noticed. That's a generational difference. Any mums I know, they've scantily clad teens, and we don't try and limit that based on size or what might happen to them out there. We're like, this is your body, you be empowered. And I think that's really important. I want to end on what you are really about, and it's that female empowerment. And I do think that body image and body positivity and feeling comfortable in your skin is woven into that. But you head up a lot of networks and really try and empower women. Why did you choose that?
I don't think I chose it. I really don't. I think it just chose me. The club, which is a national network for women that work for themselves, 100% chose me. And when my business shut in 2020, when COVID began, I just started going live on social media every day. And a group of women just started communicating with each other in the comments. And then they asked me to create a space. So I was happy to do that. And the space is as much for me as it is for them. Everything I do is about women. I do a Sunday social every month in Brown Thomas in Cork. Actually, I'm bringing it to Dublin in September, which would be great. And that's about getting women to move more. That's under my BBL and my podcast umbrella. And that's all about talking to women and finding out their whys and their stories. So whether it's movement and wellness or whether it's business and, you know, encouragement and giving women the courage to become more confident, they all come together. And because I work for myself and have done for a long time, when you work for yourself, it's just a way of life. And I love everything I do. And my week is always so varied.
Well, I think you're brilliant at what you do. Where can people find you? What's the name of your podcast?
So the podcast is BeBell, B-E-B-E-L-L-E. And I'm on social media as Sian_Horn or Sian Horn Business, depending on what they like to listen to.
The Pilates studio in Cork
is Elite Pilates.
Lovely. I want to get on a reformer with you one of these days. I think you're going to kill me. I think I'd find it difficult to walk after.
You'd be absolutely fine.
And the club, where can people find that?
That's the Club Women's Network. And we're on social media and online, obviously, .ie.
Well, Sian Horn, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And if you've been affected by anything covered in this conversation, you can contact Bodywise on their national helpline 01-210-7906, or you can email alex@bodywise, spelled W-H-Y-S, bodywise.ie. So that's it for Live and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Maurice O'Sullivan. Rory Galvin was on podcasts and Hugo De Silva Scott was on sound. And thanks to you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.